Matthew chapter 23 for a little bit this morning. Tried to get somebody else to take my place here this morning. I think I'm just plain getting too old for lock-ins. Just can't handle it. Getting wet or something. But I wasn't able to find anybody that would fill in or could fill in or something. So here I am. So more than likely, I'm going to be quite short this morning. And all the people said, there you go, I heard a few. We did have a good time at the lock-in. I think we had a good time. Had quite a crowd of people there. But glad that it's over for another year as well. This is a subject that is on my mind from time to time and been pressed on my mind again this week for this morning. Getting a ring. Matthew chapter 23. Let me begin reading with verse number 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. That's a text in itself. It really is. Another passage of Scripture, we read something to the effect of, be ye doers, not just hearers. Here he's saying, be ye doers, not just talkers. They say, and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Those phylacteries are leather-bound boxes with Scripture. So he's speaking here about making them broad and bigger or more bold, trying to portray how holy they are or how righteous they are because of these external things that really don't mean anything to the heart, but it's just the external thing that they're pressing to say, hey, this is how glorious I am or how religious I am. And I think that Jesus is saying here in the midst of it as well, how righteous I am. They love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Skip down to verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now that word servant there in verse number 11, I'm told that it comes from the classical Greek, and its meaning, its specific meaning in classical Greek is that of a person that waits on tables. Do you go to the restaurant very often? What do you think about the waiter or waitress? I'm not asking you how much you tip them, how much you let your light shine to them and being a thoughtful patron. I'm not asking how you treat them. What do you think about them? You know, what is the purpose of the waiter or the waitress? Aren't they there specifically for your comfort or for your dining pleasure, for your experience to be that of a good experience? That I've said it before, I'll say it again. The first thing that I look for in a waitress or a waiter is that they keep my glass filled. Not when I get down to the very bottom and I'm sucking the little bit left at the bottom. Or I get there, that they're back filling that up. Now, that doesn't mean that I tip them poorly or tip them well according to that, but it does make me think that they are concerned about my experience when they keep that glass full. Don't have to sit there and snap your fingers and get their attention. Hey, I want some more to drink. I say all that to say that what Jesus is saying here is that this servant is a person that is there specifically to please somebody else. Now, it may be that we have turned it around, that we have come to this thing that they are doing it so that they can get a bigger tip. Well, that may be. That may be. But the point of it is that they are there to serve. And that's what Jesus is saying. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. What does it mean to serve? How low or menial of a task is too low for you to do? Somebody said, nobody is too good for the lowest service. Nobody is too good for the lowest service. Nobody is too good for the lowest service. Those who worry about the loss of time entailed by such small external acts of helpfulness are usually taking their own work too seriously. I think that speaks volumes in relationship to what Jesus is saying about being a servant, that is exactly what we should do. It's not about us. It's not about my work. It's about serving somebody else. I was reminded of this Friday night at the lock-in. Brother Don Nichols was there. He and his wife came and spent several hours before they had to move on and get themselves prepared for their busy day on Saturday, but spent several hours there with us. Brother Nichols has just been, in last June, was elected as our conference president for the Pilgrims, and quite often when somebody reaches a point of position, somebody else is going to say, no matter what takes place, no matter what's happening, somebody else is going to say, well, their position went to their head. Especially when they do something against somebody else. You know, they make a ruling or a rule, or they draw in the lines, or, you know, they have to get on to somebody about something. Oh, their position went to their head. Happens all the time. Brother Nichols, I guess somebody could say along the line that his position went to his head. But I noticed that there was a trash can that was nearly full. I looked over and there's Brother Nichols taking that trash bag out, putting the new bag in and carrying it out to the dumpster. Something small, insignificant, he could have easily walked past it. It wasn't quite full yet. Nobody is too good for the lowest service. When we stop and think about being a servant, waiting on somebody else, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the first service one owes to others in the community involves listening to them. Just as our love for God begins with listening to God's word, the beginning of love for other Christians is learning to listen to them. We do God's work for our brothers and sisters when we learn to listen to them. He said, so often Christians think that their only service is always to have to offer something when they are together with other people. Have you ever found yourself in that position? Oh, I need to give. I need to give them some kind of words of encouragement. I need to give them some kind of words of edification. I need to give them some kind of words of direction. I need to give them something. I need to say something. When in reality, it's not even part of serving, perhaps. The biggest part of service is listening, caring for their need, showing that we listen. You may say, well, what is that? How does that really portray? It could very well be that the biggest service is that we give of our time. And that's costly. That's costly. How many of you have been busy this week? How many of you have had an hour where you felt like you didn't have anything to do? Very few of us think that we are free for an hour that we could just, there's something consuming us all the time. I'm not talking about work, just simply work. I'm talking about something in our life. We are busy doing something. Busy with this and busy with that. Busy with work. Busy with ball. Busy with activities. Busy with family. We're busy, busy, busy. We've got this to do and that to do. We have this other thing to do, and I have to get it done. It's getting springtime. Finally, I think it's springtime. Yard work is going to be coming on, and we're going to be having to do this in addition to everything else. You see, time is costly. And when we are a servant of Jesus Christ, when we are serving others around us, when we become that server, as Bonhoeffer brings out this thing of listening, that we are hearing the people and their words, and hearing their cry, maybe hearing their problems, and hearing their desperation even sometimes. We can find that around us. Listening for the needs of others, it takes time. And time is costly. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. It's not a matter of trying to find the highest position. That's the first part of the passage that we read this morning, speaking about those that were wanting to have the high spots, the seats among the great, and to be called the rabbi, be called the one that is the highest among them. It was all this thing of being proclaimed to be the better and failing to be the servant. For whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. I think the whole story here, the whole passage here, is speaking about Jesus' desire for his people not to be longing for some high position, but to be longing to be a servant, to serve people. Service. Praise God. Let's stand together this morning. Trust you have a good day. Look forward to being back together tonight. Ask the Lord for his help and presence this evening. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Merrill, would you dismiss us this morning?